Matt Smith is sitting in for Zach Bye. You said it was 25?
It was 25, yeah. Tiger, the made cut streak is at 25, yeah. I'm glad he brought up the story of last year on Thursday.
Yeah, how was that for you?
It was something else. It was something else. I mean, we both were like, hey, I think it's a great idea. We'll get our couple of guys here. We'll be following throughout the course of the show. I don't even think the show started and he was four over. And that was about all there was to it that day that Masters Thursday. But, you know, you understand. I mean, you got all your high hopes.
Heck yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, you grind over this. You're like, oh, I did all the research. He's going to be great this weekend. And then Thursday, he's five over through seven or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
he could make a par.
Cameron Champ, baby.
That's right. That's who it was. And knew it was over after, you know, four or five holes. And it just, like, it's tough to rally from that.
Oh, yeah.
And then do your job, right? And so, I had a rough day. So, hey, everybody's got a rough day at work,
sure,
right?
Everybody
does.
That was
a really rough
everybody
day.
Everybody does. Just like the Rockies, you know, the first game against the Cubs.
I got to ask you, because you are doing a deal.
Yeah.
It is all right to talk about
sure.
it. You're doing a deal where you are picking against the Rockies. You still doing that?
Yes, I am. It's getting a little complicated, though.
It is
getting,
odds, right?
Because of the odds.
Right.
Because of the odds. So, you know, I'm trying to go run line every day, and then I'm also trying to do money line, but it's also like, are you really going to take the minus 250, the juice? You know what I mean? Like, that could, over the course of a season, thunder the whole entire experiment. So it's been a challenge. I think I've stuck with mostly the opposing team starter to have three strikeouts, money line, and then
that's
maybe, you know, I'll just try whatever.
Just
I can
a
do.
Lot against the Rockies, right?
Everything against the Rockies. How's it going so far?
Yes, yeah. Well, what do you? Is
not,
it?
Not as good as you would have anticipated.
Really?
Yeah. Because they've lost a few games by just a run, and I think a couple of these games it's been close. You know, I mean, their bats, they're hitting better lately. I'll give them credit for that. They are hitting better lately. So, they're pitching is just absolutely abysmal. And by the way,
it's been good enough a couple in the last ones.
Been okay. I mean, it's been okay. Let's not act like their starters are getting through six or seven innings here. I mean, they're getting lucky here later in games, I think. But I don't know. It's not going as great as I thought. So first
That's
month,
surprising.
It is a little surprising. First month, I would say it's about the first couple of games, like the first series, I got out to a good start. I'm up like, let's just say, call it, you know, four units or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it got back to down to like around two and then up to four, but like around two. So they are right now not making me as much money as I thought that they were going
to. Yeah, that is it. That is
Phil, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I had to take over what Zach usually does before he gets in here.
Yeah, that's coming late.
Sign out. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're doing
kid
the talking.
Sign autographs.
Yes. Someone has to take over for that.
He said, Phil, I need you to do me a favor. Well, I need you to take over what I usually do to piss off Stoke. I got you. I know what to do.
And it is a nice day. It's Friday, you know, and Zach, you know, the old Zach would be here grinding.
Yeah.
Right? The new Zach. Like, I think I'm going to take the day off today.
The one
myself,
that just bought
you know?
A new Porsche. You
right.
know, he's the
yes.
one that.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah.
He got comfortable.
Well, yes. I've never seen it because we're always on air, but I was always told that before the show, which I'm sure what you did, he just runs up and down the hallways and requires high fives from everyone in the building.
Gets everybody out of their office?
Yeah,
exactly.
He's the one hosting all the meetings.
Oh,
you know, like he's the one that he
requires daily updates.
Exactly.
Yeah, no question.
Updates on what's going on for the day.
Sits at the head of the table. I wanted to read one quick text. Somebody's mad that we didn't mention Justin Gaethje fighting in UFC 300.
We got to.
Colorado guy, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Zach and I actually played golf with him last year.
Oh, did y'all?
Yeah.
No big deal.
And I made a fool out of myself.
Oh, shocking.
So, yeah.
Right?
So
really?
Did you know who
it
was?
Yeah,
I know exactly who it was. And I actually know, there's a guy named Elliot Marshall here in town who trains with Justin. He trains young kids. I bet your brothers know Elliot.
Yeah. Drop a couple more names. Go ahead.
Sound like more slurs over here.
At least Stokely has the dignity not to drop a bunch of names all over the table when he comes in here from one of his lavish weekends.
Well.
Right.
You must have missed the show this week. But I go up to Justin and I'm like, oh, dude, big fan. And I actually know this guy that you know and could not think of the name I just dropped in Elliot Marshall. And then I was literally like, oh, man, I can't remember. He's a bald guy. He does MMA stuff. And he was like, yeah, thanks for narrowing it down.
Right.
Turned around and walked away.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
are you headed out to the course here?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you ought to be.
Yeah,
I mean, it is stunning outside.
I should be, but I'm going to be watching the Masters, hanging out, relaxing.
Against your will.
Hopefully this weekend.
I can't hear it in his voice.
Did you bet on Tiger to make it? You bet on him to make the cut?
I did. So that was a good one. He will be making the cut. I'm out today. I'm playing this weekend.
Okay.
It's
gonna be a stunning weekend too.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Gonna be like in the 80s.
This is the best. Yeah. I mean, this is look at. I mean, this is
we're almost getting golf season.
Masters
we're almost getting
here.
The boating weather too.
Ooh,
yeah. We're out there in
the boat. We're close. Love.
Like you own a boat?
No. Yes, I do. A little dinghy.
I was like, dude, fish out.
I need more friends with boats. So if you know you and any of your fancy friends, your name drop and have boats, invite Matt out.
Okay.
How are we feeling about the Nuggets, Matt? With two to left here, feeling great. Got the number one seed locked up. How hard are we pushing down the stretch in the last two?
I feel good. Yeah, I feel just as good as I have most of the year about the Nuggets. That was a nice win the other night over Minnesota. It didn't even feel like they were the hungrier team to start, but then they came out and they flexed their muscle in the fourth quarter like they have. I was very encouraged. Double trouble, Phil's guys,
yes, sir.
Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, I thought they played great. Good enough to leave KCP and AG on the bench.
Yeah.
You got one in San Antonio tonight. I imagine Jamal Murray will play his 20, 25 minutes tonight. Enough to get the win. Now you've already done the work. So now you've got to go for the one seed, just wrap up these final two games. And I don't know if you've seen the Memphis Grizzlies injury list, because that's who the Nuggets have after the Spurs. So Memphis playing at home tonight against L.A. I don't know who's suiting up. The mascot might be suiting up for the Grizzlies. I mean, Derrick Rose is out, Marcus Smart's out, like their entire starting lineup. I mean, it's
their best player is Pippen Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotty Skitt.
He might be out.
He might be out, honestly.
Wow.
There's some egregious tanking going on right now in the NBA. Don't you think so, Josh?
Oh, yeah. But it's what it's set up to do. This is
the Jazz.
The bad teams are trying to do. But it's also a weird year to tank because it's the worst NBA draft.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. So Wimby, does he play tonight?
Yeah.
He's not even on the injury report today.
Yeah, he didn't play in the last game.
No. Why are you playing?
That's
just
what
shows
saying.
You like that. Organization has no clue.
I think
the game has passed Greg Popovich by. It's passed him by.
I would have kicked him in the knees and said, "Hey, you're out for the night."
I mean, hurt. Right? Like, why would you play him?
Yeah.
He was just hurt and just out. He's done enough. I'd like to let. What happens if he gets hurt?
That's the worst thing ever.
Like, why would you play him in a meaningless game? You don't need to win it. None of your other starters are playing. You got like four or five.
Yes.
You got four of the other starters. I think out.
Well, first of all, I think it's probably like fan appreciation. That's probably part of it. It's their last home game of the year.
That's right.
And yeah, and you figure maybe he'll only play, 25, 27 minutes if it's a blowout. But that Spurs team plays hard. I actually just heard a stat. The Spurs this year have the most losses in the NBA when leading by 15 or more in the second half.
Wow.
Yeah. They're egregiously tanking this year in San Antonio.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
Egregiously tanking. So I don't think Wemby's going to play that much, but I do kind of get it. I mean, your fans have had just a horrible couple of years there in San Antonio.
Since when do we start thinking about the fans?
I just think that's probably why he would play tonight.
Like, it's the last night at home. It's the last night they're going to get the chance to see him. Like, I would imagine that's
probably why.
Yeah, don't worry about the future of your organization if he gets hurt.
Greg Popovich is going to be there to see the future of the organization?
I mean, goodness.
How old is Pop now?
Old Pop.
I don't know. Too old.
He got to be pushing 70 now.
But you don't think he drafted Wimby to keep himself
exactly
around.
Of course. Yeah, but do you think he's gonna be there in year seven of Wemby?
I kind of do.
What,
year seven?
Yeah,
what, is he gonna be out there with a walker or a cane?
He'll be the oldest coach.
He'll be rolling Greg Popovich right out to coach every night.
Could he move up into the front office, you think?
Either
the general
manager or a
consultant type of role.
Yeah,
maybe.
That'd be the worst consultant to have, Greg Popovich.
Sure. Don't you kind of want that? I mean, it's the Spurs and their culture and their organization, but I would think that after having that loud of a voice within the organization for years, maybe he's a consultant where you go to, but he's not going to be in the building every day.
Yep.
Not when he leaves. Because the rumor is that maybe he's around for a couple more years, Steve Kerr sees out Steph Curry's contract in Golden State, and then Kerr goes to take over for Pop in San Antonio. Because if you'll remember, Kerr signed that extension this year to make him the highest paid coach in the NBA, but it was only for two seasons. That's the rumor.
That is interesting.
It'd be real fitting for Steve Kerr to go fill the shoes of
Popovich.
What is he, Kevin Durant?
Right.
I feel pretty good about the Nuggets, though, Stoke. I do. Don't you? Good. Right now?
Oh, yeah. Because... you know, Aaron Gordon playing the other night really helped me out.
Okay.
Because if he didn't play against Minnesota, I'm like, oh, you know, that would make me really nervous about what's going on sure. with him. Him playing said, okay, he's fine. And Jamal now back, he played back-to-back nights, tells me he's good to go. And now let's just take care of business these next two, which you should, and the number one, and have the number one seed. Look, the West is a son of a gun.
Yeah.
It is a beast this year.
Yeah.
To think that we're going to cruise through the West like we did last year, no. It ain't. It's going to be a fist fight.
Yeah, it won't be 16-4.
I think from the start, this thing's going to be a fist fight. Buckle up, but I like our chances against anybody, of course, but man, hey, anything can happen in the West this year.
You know, the only thing, Phil, that made me a little concerned was Michael Malone after the game the other night saying, you guys don't know what it was like for Jamal even to just play tonight.
That was big to me, too. When I listened to that, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he obviously is dealing with something more significant than we think, and he's trying to push through this, and Malone wanted to kind of hold him back, hold him out, and Jamal wanted to play. So that's something to look out for, even for this game here, like to see how much he plays, should he play.
But that makes no sense to me. Then don't play him.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, because what did Michael Malone tell us? The health of the team is the number one priority. That's right. What he told us weeks ago. But now, all of a sudden, it's a miracle that this guy played. He had to do this and that to play in the game. And you're going to play him with three games left? I mean, that doesn't...
So do you think he's being dramatic then?
I do. I
think he was embellishing, just, you know, kind of propping his guy up a little bit.
I do. Or you wouldn't play the guy. Like, if it's close, I'm not playing him. Why would you play him? It's Jamal Murray. You got no chance. None.
No, I'm with
to
you.
To do anything without Jamal Murray, excuse me. None.
What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as big of a deal. The quotes caught me off guard, too, of like, why would you even say that? Keep that stuff in-house. That's a locker room thing if it actually happened. And when we talked about it, was it yesterday or the day before? Like, if he was not healthy enough to go, it's not his decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't leave that up to the player. You have to protect the player from themselves. Most players.
Jamal's
not at that level yet. The Nuggets, he's not. I promise you.
See, we kind of argued about this yesterday because we had a... Zach and I were talking about different things, and Zach pretty much brought up that, okay, Jamal's not an all-star. And I'm like, okay, but it's like, it's a double-headed sword because he's an all-star when you need him to be in the playoffs, and we talk about how great he is, and if we don't have him on the team, then we're probably not going to be winning this next championship. So I understand he doesn't have the accolades or somebody saying you're an all-star from pen to paper, but in my eyes, he kind of is an all-star. You kind of do need him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need him a ton. I also think the reason all five guys are on the injury report today, because Minnesota and OKC are both in action tonight. Denver's in action tonight. Nuggets win, those two teams lose. I think Minnesota's playing Atlanta, so it's a little unlikely. But you could be looking at a situation Sunday where it's already locked up.
Yeah.
And then you have guys on the injury list. You avoid having to deal with the NBA. You're getting in front of giving guys some time off.
I like it.
I also thought that maybe in... Malone mentioned this, that, hey, look, Jamal was begging. He held him out for seven games, right? I don't know how much more he could have held him out with the one still on the line. And if you listen to Malone talking about prioritizing the one seed over, you know, health, which they don't want to do, but then if you listen to the players outside of Jokic, it's a completely different a completely different story.
Right.
All Jamal has been saying is we want the one seed. We want home court advantage. We want to play here. Even Peyton Watson the other night said we're playing for the one seed. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe there's a little window dressing on what Michael Malone is saying publicly. Like, of course we're not going to burn these guys out.
Yeah.
Of course we're not. But inside, it's like, guys.
And it's also, you guys watch the games.
Yeah.
Once that ball's up in the air, he can't help himself.
Agreed.
He tightens up.
Yeah.
Which is why if Jamal were to have gone to Michael Malone and been like, coach, you're not keeping me out tonight. Be like, sounds good. You know what I mean? Sounds good. All right, we've got a ton to get to today. Matt Smith in for Zach. Bye. Big night in the NBA. Winnipeg beat Dallas last night and sets up a winner-take-second-place showdown, I guess, tomorrow in the Central Division. Tons to get to, and also just another chance to add to Titletown USA. Got to love it. It's a feel-good Friday on The Fan. Happy Friday. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye. Phil Lindsay in the house. And what a stunning Friday it is. Driving down, I had the windows rolled down, obviously listening to Josh and Stoke. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Obviously listening to those fellas, but it is a stunning day. The weekend is going to be gorgeous. We're glad you're here with us. Join in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Glad to have you along for the ride. Phil, it is a huge night in the NBA.
It really
absolutely
is.
Absolutely massive night
really
in the NBA.
It is. Before you start, man, yeah. Remember last time that we were together?
Okay.
It was snowing.
Oh, the snowmageddon. Yeah,
you know,
of course.
We thought we were going to have to get hotels.
That's right.
And now look at it.
Well, all those guys got hotels.
They did.
All those guys out there got hotels.
You and know who had to go from Boulder.
Yes, yeah, of course. Of course I had to go from Boulder because I'm a real Coloradan. I'll drive both ways 2 hours in the snow. I don't care if I have to drive the plow myself.
You know what? Drew behind the glass, he was sounding like my mom.
But all we both know why.
Because she get the hotel.
Yeah, well, we both know why that was. It was a little staycay. You know, a little staycation. You know, got a couple of kids at home. You know, She not listening. I'm not airing you out.
I totally missed it. Wait, what? I heard something
don't
about
worry
talking
about, don't worry
about
like
your mom? What?
Yeah, wow.
No,
wow.
We're talking about the last time we all were together.
Did you just say,
you were trying to get us all to stay because you were worried about the weather. And I was like, Matt had to go all the way to Boulder.
You're lucky I don't have my own board here in front of me.
Yeah,
I'd hammer you with a couple of bam, bam, bing, bing, bing. You know,
that was during the snowstorm, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. All right, huge night at the NBA. All 30 teams play tonight, by the way, and again on Sunday. So tons of games that will impact seeding. And right now for the Nuggets, pretty simple. Win and you're in against two of the worst teams in the NBA tonight, Victor Wembanyama and San Antonio. And it sounds like Victor will play. We just spoke about it with Josh and Stoke, that it's a bit up in the air, right? They don't have anything to play for. And despite the horrible year for San Antonio, they're actually 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Matt, if I'm that organization.
Which organization?
Spurs.
Okay.
I'm not playing Wimby tonight. Oh, he's done.
Wembeed?
Yeah, I said Wembeed. Like, I called him
Wembeed. Oh, I thought it was a Wembeed, a little combination. You imagine?
No, yeah,
imagine
I know.
Giving Wembeed and Bede strength.
Woo.
Anyway, go ahead.
We'll see what he is in 5 years from now. He might be like that. I'm not playing Wemby. The last two games of the season, nothing to play for. Okay, they're tanking, obviously. So just sit out, Wemby. Make it easier for Jokic and everybody else to get out the game faster, right? We don't want to see them that long.
Just do us a solid.
Just do us 20 minutes at max.
Just a little
solid.
Is what
I want to see all the starters playing tonight.
You know, we just spoke about Jamal Murray and the comments that Michael Malone made after the game about how, look, it was a struggle to get him back out onto the floor tonight, and we didn't know if he was going to go. And, you know, Stoke felt like he was kind of embellishing a little bit and propping his guy up. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with Jamal. I have to be honest with you, because I watched that Utah game. The beginning of this week.
Yep.
I don't know what got into Jamal. I think Jamal was out there trying to prove to all of us that he was okay.
Oh, he was.
He had like 5 dunks in that game. I haven't seen Jamal dunk 5 times in a game ever. And a couple of big ones off of one leg. It was kind of like, relax, guys. I'm fine.
Isn't that a Jamal moment, though? It sounds like something that Jamal would do, just like if he goes to a press conference and he's watching a UFC fight.
How are those things the same?
I mean, it's just like, it's something that he's like, it's who he is. Like, I'm going to show you guys that either I don't care what you guys have to say about me during the press conference, or you guys are talking too much about me not being ready, and I'm going to go prove it out there and dunk 5 times.
I thought so. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like a little bit of a message. Hey, I'm good.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm good. I dunked 3 times in the first quarter. Although, to be honest, it was so much to the point where I was like, okay, all right, we get it. You're fine. Like, you,
it was
we get it.
For me. He played phenomenal defense that night.
He did. 4 steals and 4 blocks. I mean, come on. Come on. Even Jokic was trying to push him as like a defensive team, you know, first team all defense or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we'll see. I think it was Jamal who brought it up after the game against Utah, now that you mentioned it, Phil, that Kobe was the one, before Kobe passed, had challenged Jamal to be all NBA defense.
That's his favorite player. He looked up to Kobe. So it makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, look, when you are a dominant team going against a team that's not good, you have to work on the little things that make you who you are. And that's kind of what Jamal did when he came back. And he needed to do that. Here we go again, Matt.
Here we go again.
He's been out for 7 games. And I was thinking of Zach because Zach was so like, you know, I don't know how his stamina is going to be.
Sure.
Well, him doing the defense and how aggressive he was with that, him dunking the ball, he's just getting himself ready and acclimated to what's going to happen for these playoffs.
And, you know, I think they've gone about it the smart way, the correct way, minutes restriction. He still played 27 minutes against Minnesota and 27 minutes against Utah. In both those games, 20 points, 28 points. He's fine.
Yeah.
And in fact, I'm sitting there and I'm watching that Minnesota game in the second half, and I'm just thinking to myself, in the fourth quarter, I think it was, because he didn't play a ton in the third quarter, where he normally like bridges the gap between units.
Yep.
A lot of that was Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, because they stagger Murray and Jokic.
Ooh-wee, and those two, man.
I mean, what a game. I thought of you. Double trouble. I mean, I love the nickname.
It was fun, man. It was fun watching those two young bulls. I call them puppies.
They're kind of like a couple of like junkyard dogs. You know what I mean?
And it's easy to do that, Matt, when you have big brothers, all five of them, right? The starting five that you know is going to handle business. You could just play free. Just go out there. Don't care what's happening. Play great defense. Make exciting plays. Electrify the whole entire air and ball arena. That's your job. That's your job, and that's what they did, and it helped out so much.
How do you feel about the bench right now compared to where we were like 3 weeks ago?
You know what? I was nervous about the bench, and I've been nervous about the bench the whole entire year, Matt, to be honest with you. But I started to understand and think, okay, during the playoffs, they're only going to play how much, you think, Matt? 8 minutes? 12 at the most at times? Not
15
even that?
Tops.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so even with that, you're going to have some starters mixed in with the bench. It's not going to just be a full court of bench players, right? So when you may have MPJ in there with Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, or you might have Jamal Murray in there. So honestly, I'm not as worried as I was to start this, just because I know that they're not going to always just be a bunch of bench players in the game at one time.
Reggie's a little concerning to me.
Reggie's,
it's just he's tired. I can tell he's hurt. I think they had to play him too much at the beginning of the year when Jamal missed time, and now he's a little banged up, and he's the one guy, the one reliable factor that you paid in the offseason and said, we're going to need you to be our guard off the bench, and they had to kind of lean on him a little bit too early this season when Jamal went down. He started a bunch of games and did really well, but now I think, you know, the other night he was falling down a couple of times. I think he's banged up, man. I think he's tired, and it concerns me slightly, but I believe even Reggie, especially after not playing in the playoffs last year, he'll dial it back up for playoffs. I mean, that's a veteran guy that has played in those situations plenty of times. The one guy that I do feel much better about right now, though, Peyton Watson.
Okay.
I do. And we talked about, I think, even when I was in here with you a couple of weeks ago, how the shooting percentages have fallen off. Right? I mean, you look at his shooting percentages as splits. In the month of February, 45% from three.
Yeah.
In the month of March, 11% from three. Well, sometimes with younger players, when the shot's not falling, that affects you on both ends of the floor.
Mentally.
And I think it did there for a little while for Peyton Watson. But the one part about his game that is a non-negotiable and should never change is no matter what's fallen, it's the effort on the defensive end of the floor.
Bingo.
And not only that, can I get my teammates involved, assist? Can I get to the glass and crash hard? You need that. In the last few games, look at this. Four rebounds, four assists, six blocks against the Timberwolves, okay, in 23 minutes. Shoot, you'll take that all day. You know, all day. You only take two shots. Against the Jazz, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, okay? And then against the Hawks, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. There are things that you can do that aren't necessarily making shots that can help us win games, and I think his mentality is getting back to the correct spot. And that was a big moment the other night with KCP and AG on the bench.
It was.
That's Michael Malone telling two young players, I trust you.
I like it, Matt. On top of that, like I've said, all right, you're not looking at Peyton Watson to be this scorer. And I think for the longest, Christian Brown had an issue at the beginning of the year where he felt like he needed to score, and I thought he was doing too much. You know, I thought he was just doing way too much.
He was doing a lot of thinking, that's for sure.
Well, in reality, it's like, what are you in there for? Great defense. Christian Brown has played really great defense, all right? Peyton Watson, another one, great defense. Okay, make smart shots, okay, and get your teammates involved. But now when you have Jamal Murray back, you got Reggie Jackson coming off the bench. Now he's a little bit more fresher. You have someone like Jamal Murray that decides to stay in with the bench, or you have MPJ staying with the bench. Those are the players that you use to score the points. Mm. The rest of them, like you said, Matt, that's what they do. The blocks, the assists, the rebounds, and play great defense. Don't worry about just the points. That's why we'll keep people like Jamal Murray in, MPJ in. That's why we'll split people and stagger our starters at time to help out with things like that.
The Nuggets can tie the 2012-2013 team with a team record 57 wins if they do win tonight in San Antonio, and they can set the record outright by winning tonight and on Sunday. And Michael Malone tonight he can move into second place alone ahead of George Karl with a team victory as far as Nuggets wins by a head coach. We will be dialed into that. It's a 6 o'clock tip-off. On the other side, Winnipeg beat Dallas last night, okay? It was a little surprising because it was in Dallas. So I'm going, man, you know, Dallas kind of eased off the gas there a little bit. They already kind of wrapped up the Central Division. Winnipeg was happy to oblige with the win, so it sets up a massive showdown on Saturday, and we'll break it down next. Happy Friday. Oh, just a feel-good Friday, too. I mean, I'm driving in, and the vibes were so high. I know I brought it up to you a little bit earlier. Matt Smith in for Zach Bye alongside Phil Lindsay. Thanks for rocking with us. Join in on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043.
I like that music, man.
That's, I know.
That, that's that vibe. Just like the vibe a little bit.
Boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying. Just a little Friday vibe. I don't know about you, but I am all about boating in the summer. That's like my happy place. Yeah. But you can't really, there's not a lot of great places around here to go boating.
Yeah, so where would you go boating? Where do you go boating?
You want me to give away my spot?
Yeah.
It's like, this is my spot.
Yeah, actually, don't.
Are you
going to
have my spot blown up?
Just, Colorado has gotten so big.
I'll tell you. Up in Fort Collins, Horsetooth Reservoir, you can rent them up there. Uh-huh. There's like 7 miles of shoreline. It's great. I mean, you just drop anchor, you know, in the right spot. Make sure you don't float into the rocks. And then take a little swim ski in the middle of summer. Wait till it's like 95 out there. A couple of drink skis, you know. That's a whole day.
Man, I'm just scared to get on the boats, and I'm scared to drive it.
You're scared to get on the boats?
Yeah, man. I'm just scared.
Just scared, huh?
Who's gonna move the boats?
Well, you're not a boat guy, huh?
You know, I just never.
How many times in your life have you been on a boat?
Zero.
No.
Swear. Now that I think about it, zero.
You have never been on a boat.
Never been on a boat.
Jet skis, nothing.
No.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
It's time to expand your horizons. It's time. You know, you're not in the league anymore. Now it's time to experiment. Now you can do it. Yeah, but you're going to be fine. We'll get you out in the boat this summer, and we'll get you acclimated to it. It's awesome. It's all water skiing, getting the back of the tube.
It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful.
Oh, it's a blast.
I just don't want to have a shark eat me.
A shark? Yeah, all those Colorado sharks, man.
Look, the sharks eat me.
All those Colorado sharks, the great whites.
The crabs.
The Colorado crabs.
Gotta watch out. Where do you think we live?
Yeah, gotta watch out. Those Colorado crabs and the
crocodiles and the alligators.
Oh, man. Those gators. See, that's the beauty of swimming here is it's just like glacier runoff.
That is true.
You know, that's the beauty of it. There ain't nothing down there.
Until a sea monster goes
up there. A sea monster? Oh, my gosh. Gosh.
It would be me. My luck.
Are you believing this right here?
It would be my luck.
I thought
this
radio show was in Mississippi.
That's what I'm saying. That's gators and sharks. I mean, come on. Come on. KJ, how many times have you been on a boat?
Once.
No way. All right, this summer, we're getting you all out there. We'll get you on the boat. I know Drew's been on the boat plenty. Man. Look at his shirt.
I was about to say,
Drew
look at him.
Just came off
he
the
looks,
boat.
He,
okay?
looks, he looks like a walking
Drew looks
boat,
like he
man.
Just got off the course.
That's Jesus. What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. We walked in and Drew's wearing a flowery pink shirt, you know, one that you'd probably see at your local municipal golf course. And he's like, yeah, I'm pulling this off. And I'm like, I don't know that you're pulling it off. Or is it we're just normalized to it now? It's just like, oh, that's who this dude is, you know?
I kinda like it.
No, I do too.
I like it. You know,
I do too. It just makes me want to be outside.
Vibe. It's like that vacation Friday. Who cares what we say on the radio?
Exactly. Speaking of which, Winnipeg beat Dallas last night in a big showdown. The reason we care about that is the Jets have overtaken second place in the Central, and the Avs are now down to third place. We knew after the Avalanche lost to the Stars on Sunday, 7-4 is a tough one, that the Central was probably done. Winning the division, out of the question. Well, now they're going to have to fight and scrap to have home ice advantage in the first round. Now, luckily, they get the opportunity tomorrow night against Winnipeg here. So at least you don't have to go on the road to do it because they certainly haven't been the same team away from Ball Arena. But good news, Mikko Rantanen, it looks like, after suffering a concussion against Edmonton last week, looks like he's going to make his way back into the lineup tomorrow night.
Yeah. Now, is he going to be in the second line? I'm thinking it's going to be the second line. And I think the reason for that is, Matt, is they got to get a spark on that second line.
Mm.
There's some spark. Where Val
was,
been?
I thought that was Casey Middlestat.
Oh, right? Here we go.
I thought Casey Middlestat was the spark that they needed.
Drew, you might need to back me up here.
You know I'm with you.
I thought that was Casey Middlestat that they needed.
Now, it was interesting, Matt, when I was watching the game. I think it was against Dallas. Mm-hmm. No, the Wild, when they were beating them up, and it was so quiet in the arena. I was like, yo.
Yeah, McKinnon lit the building on fire.
You know, it was so electrifying that they got tired, and now nobody wanted to cheer anymore.
But Casey
Middlestat said something, and the broadcaster brought it up saying that he's still trying to find his footing with what's going on.
For sure.
And it's kind of funny because it's like when he first got here, he was on fire. And now all of a sudden, it's like he's struggling. Why is that?
Well, it's a good question because, and what you're referencing is basically you're coming in as a younger player who is expected of, right? You're not bringing a Casey Middlestat to fill out your bottom six and contribute here or there and like 13 minutes a night. Casey's going to play, you know, probably close to 20 minutes a night, maybe not, like 17, and you need him to generate and produce. So he's coming over from Buffalo where they play a completely different style. First of all, nobody plays at the Avalanche's pace, okay? Nobody plays. Maybe Carolina, maybe Edmonton, end of list.
Yeah, I noticed
that. Those are
the
only teams. So first of all, you're going to have to learn to play a completely new way. That's number one. Number two is now you're playing with world-class talent, guys who have won at the highest level, and you're trying not to A, embarrass yourself, or B, let them down. That's the last thing you want to be. That's the last thing Casey wants to do is come to that locker room and be a disappointment, okay? So there's a lot of pressure you put on yourself.
Honestly, it is. I never thought about it like that. It's like you're coming into an all-star team, all right? They're counting on you, and all of a sudden you get on that ice. The level is just faster. You're like, man, I got to make sure I get all these guys the puck. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's like you're starting to kind of have brain freezes because I know you have plays. And I think the first time that Casey Mills stepped on that ice, they just let him play free.
Mm.
But as you start to play more with the team, play more with each other, you got to know the plays.
Exactly.
You
got to
know the setups.
Yes.
And I think that's what he's
100%.
He's having trouble with.
You're right on it, buddy. It's playing instinctually, like you're talking about. So first gets here, hey, buddy, it's hockey, right? We've got some systems and some structures. We know it's going to take you some time. Let's get out there, go see what you can do, and we'll start to assimilate you into our system and our structure.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's not going to be perfect right away. Well, I think you're seeing him think a little bit out there right now as he's trying to, A, play instinctually, but also fit into what they're doing. Because, look, you can be as good of an instinctual hockey player as you want, but if you're not in the right spot, you know, on the power play or the breakout or, you know, what have you, well, now everybody's either waiting for you or you're waiting for them. And I think there has been some of that, too. But I will say one of my bigger concerns is that just driving offense, being a guy who can get into the offensive zone and generate for others. Yeah, that's been waning. And even Jared Bednar said that, you know, we want to see him keep being more and more of himself. And hopefully with a full offseason coming up when they re-sign him, because they're gonna, that he will get better next year. Right now, I don't know how good it is right now. And without Val in the lineup, you really needed somebody else there.
Yes.
You really did.
Well, speaking of Val, Val kind of has been MIA with being there. Usually we know Val's MIA. He's probably out there doing his thing, partying, whatever the case may be. But in this case, he's on that ice, but he's not making the impact that I thought he would coming back. And maybe he is banged up still. That's what it kind of looks like to me. It's because I know he had took some time off because of a lower body leg. Was it a leg?
Mm-hmm.
Some injury. And when he came back, he kind of hasn't been the same.
I would agree with you there. No points in the last five games. For Val, no points. But again, he's not playing with Nate. He's playing on that second line.
See, and I've said that before. I've said let's put him up there with like a game like tomorrow. Maybe put him up there, right? I know that they're trying to put Mikko down there with Val, with Casey Middlestat to generate some kind of explosiveness, some kind of thing with that second line. But for Val's confidence, put him up there with McKinnon, with Druin, because I know Nate Dogg and Druin go together like peanut butter and jelly right now.
Yeah.
You know, let him get that confidence up there. Now, I know that they want to kind of even it out, and maybe that's why they're doing this. And for me, my selfish reasons, I want to see Val on the top line just to get him going again.
All right, well, let's get back into that here coming up, because I want to have a more dedicated conversation about Val and what's going on, and certainly what the second line is going to look like tomorrow night and heading into the playoffs, because it's a massive one in the regular season. Home ice in the first round is hanging in the balance tomorrow night. On the other side, ESPN released their projection list of what all these quarterbacks in this draft class are going to look like. What is J.J. McCarthy going to turn into? What is Michael Penix going to turn into? And more importantly, is Bo Nix any good? We'll dive into that next. People on the RamosLaw.com text line are not happy. Not happy with me.
I'm not happy.
Yeah, because I blew up a good spot. You strong-armed me into blowing. I'm not going to say it again. You strong-armed me into blowing up my good boating spot.
Okay.
I'm not saying it again. I'm not, okay? But it's like, stop talking, man. Don't let the Denverites know what we got going on up here.
Yeah,
I get it.
I understand. I understand where the, you know, when you're from Denver, you want to keep things in the circle.
Yeah.
Because once you put it out to everybody.
I know.
Everybody wants to go.
That's what I'm saying. It's a bit of a hidden gem. That's the thing. I mean, it's a bit of a drive, especially from down here. Somebody says, Phil, the Colorado Crabs are not something you have to worry about. You're married, buddy. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Well, thank God. Thank God for that.
Somebody else offering to take you paddleboarding. But, I mean, like, would that make you more comfortable to ease your way into a boat to get out into a paddleboard?
Look, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it big. We got to go with the boat.
You got to go with the power boat.
Can't just go paddleboard.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, just ease your way.
And especially if there's a shark coming. How are you supposed to paddle? How are you supposed to paddle versus fins?
All right. At the next break, we're going to get the globe in here. I'm going to get the map in here and some encyclopedias. We're going to talk about freshwater, saltwater, ocean, lake. Okay. We're going to nail our bodies of water down.
Man.
Okay. Quick thing to talk about. This spring, by the way, you and Zach hitting the streets, taking the show on the road. This is very exciting. It's the Drive's Brouhaha. Their first stop is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. They're going to be there Friday, April 19th, 2 to 6 p.m. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. That'll be fun. Get out with the hobnobbing, with the folks out there, with the listeners. That's always a good time.
We got a tour going. We're kind of like Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
They have the Swifties.
Uh-huh.
They got the ZPs.
On your own Eras tour. You're in your brewery era is what you're in. That's tough, though. You're sitting there 2 to 6, you know, on a Friday. People are getting off of work, and you just sit there staring at that clock.
You start sweating.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Still one more hour. And then, you know, it's the brewery. What we got?
We got a little T-Swift.
Oh, this is Zach and Phil in their
brewery
era.
You didn't know Zach
era.
Was a Swiftie?
Oh, no, I know Zach is a Swiftie. Yeah. Yeah, no. Zach and Scrappy Will. Well documented Swifties. On ESPN, I saw this morning. This kind of caught my eye. It's their 2024 NFL draft quarterback projections, okay?
Yeah.
So basically, this is where Aaron Schatz, by the way, this is the guy who wrote the piece, he's projecting what these quarterbacks are going to look like. He starts out with Caleb Williams. He gives him a 28% bust rating, okay? Gives him about a 30% chance to be a bust. Gives him about a 25% chance to be an adequate starter. He says 24% upper tier and elite 21%. Hey, I mean, you're probably not going to get better projections for a first-round quarterback than that.
That's pretty solid.
Because as we know, the hit rate of first-round quarterbacks at its very best is about 30%, even if you're drafted in the top five.
Yeah, we just don't know. Especially with someone like Caleb Williams, he has all the tangibles, just like all the other first-round draft picks that were quarterbacks. But can you process it? Can you do things on the fly? Can you remember the plays? Man, you would be so surprised that half the battle is remembering the plays and what you got. And for a quarterback, you got to know everybody's position.
That's why you got a wristband.
I used to ask the quarterback, hey, what we got?
I know. Sefo used to tell me.
He's like right here.
Sefo used to tell me. The playbook was never your strong suit. He used to be like, no, Phil, get up to the line with me and be, Sefo, what am I doing? Just go right. Block that guy. You got the backer.
It's because Sefo, you wanted to whisper things.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Hey, but was I right or was I right? I was right. That's all I'm saying. All right, I think we can agree, at least I feel this way, that despite what the report was from Paul Allen yesterday saying that the Broncos would be willing to give up the next two first-round picks and Patrick Surtain for J.J. McCarthy, which I'm sure you saw that, but we'll have to get back into that a little bit later. Despite that, it is my opinion, at least, that the Broncos aren't going to be able to get into, at very least, the top three. Four would be a stretch for me.
Yeah, I think four is the max. I think that they can't get to the top three, but the top four could be possible. All deciding on what you're willing to give up. And that's a lot of equity. It's a lot of draft picks. It's
no
a
kidding.
Player. Like, are you willing to give all that up for a player that's going to be the number four quarterback. You know, it's not number one. It's not the Caleb Williams.
Well, let me ask
for the number four quarterback.
So based upon the projections here, okay, Aaron Schatz of ESPN gives J.J. McCarthy a 46% bust rate.
Ooh.
46% as opposed to 28% for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So remember, look, these are all projections here. Just another expert's opinion. All right, he gives him a 26% chance of being an adequate starter, a 17% chance of being an upper-tier player, and elite quarterback, only a 10% chance.
Well, what's your take on J.J.?
I'm not a J.J. guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a J.J. guy.
I forgot Zach loves J.J., I'm not a J.J. guy, and Matt, you're not a J.J. guy.
Zach loves J.J., huh?
He loves J.J.
Yeah, he loved Michigan minus 52 at home against Hawaii, but he was wrong on that one, too. What can I tell you? All right, hey, I do want to talk about Bo Nix, though, because Bo Nix is the name that we've all been talking about here, especially, I don't know, the last 2.5, 3 weeks?
Oh,
he's the one that's kind of risen to the top of the bowl here. 54% chance of a bust for Bo Nix. 24.4% chance of an adequate starter. So, I mean, not this is kind of where I thought Bo would be, you know, kind of backup quarterback range. That, to me, seems about where it is. He gives him about a 14% chance of being an upper-tier starter and about a 7% chance of being an elite starter.
Now, when Justin Herbert was coming out, Matt, was he projected to be what he was? Or what he is.
Well, junior year, if he would have come out after junior year, he would have definitely been a higher draft pick because he had a better junior year. But he stayed for senior year, and then he kind of dropped a little bit. Yeah, he dropped a little bit.
I think when you go with Bo, it's a safer option. He's older. He does some of the
I'm listening, yeah.
I mean, I just think, like, he does the check downs.
Mm-hmm.
He does process, it seems like.
Rusted the check downs.
You know, but that's a safe option.
Cheaper check downs
is a safe option to get it out your hands, make some yards so you don't get hit. I'm not a Bo guy either, though, man. I'm not a Bo. If it's between Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, I might have to take Bo Nix because I'm not trying to give up everything to go to the number four spot to get J.J. I'm just not.
Mm. It's a tough conversation, man, because it feels yet again like we're in a position where you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole because you're desperate. Josh and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Desperado. That's exactly what's going on over there at Dove Valley. Desperate. By the way, Fan Flyaway, it is back, and this time we're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game of the Pro Basketball Championships in June. Here's what you're going to get, all right? Two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Who knows? Maybe Boston? Maybe Milwaukee. Maybe that's it. Philly. Two nights hotel and $500. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Those of you, though, who have previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, like, you know, the one we had for the big game in Vegas, good news, you're already part of the club and you're going to be entered into this one. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future Flyaway contests. It is the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. All right, on the other side, Avs, Nuggets, and also got a chance to play for a natty tomorrow. We'll break it down next.